Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Mark and talk about the Year of Faith. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back. The Youth Ministry Department of Most Precious Blood Parish will offer free viewings of the acclaimed movie For Greater Glory on October 19th and 20th in the Monsignor Thompson Parish Hall, 3502 Saratoga. This film on the importance of religious freedom has particular resonance for us today. It asks the question, what price would you pay for freedom? Although primarily directed at youth, all are welcome to attend. Additionally, the lead actor in the movie, Mauricio Curi, who portrays Blessed Jose Sanchez del Rito, will appear for a question and answer time at the church on October 26th. For complete information on the movie and the actor's appearance, please call the parish office at 854-3800. What price would you pay for freedom?
It's fall festival time in Flower Bluff at St. Peter's-by-the-Sea Catholic Church, 1541 Waldron Road. The date is Saturday, October 20th from 2 to 6 p.m., and it's free, and there's free food, rides, games, music, a petting zoo, face painting, pony rides, and so much more. You're asked to bring a canned food item to support Timmins Ministries. To hear more, call 937-1456.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. Kind of glad the strong heat is gone anyway, the intense heat.
I know. Isn't it wonderful? It's so nice to see the water and the waves coming from the north instead of from the south.
Right.
We're definitely into fall.
Yes.
Well, we have a beautiful gospel this morning again from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, it's interesting to me that this gospel really, the gospel message coincides so much with our Year of Faith, which started this past Thursday on October the 11th.
It is exactly at the very heart of what the Year of Faith is all about. In fact, it's at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a man and woman of faith, man or woman of faith. It is really a call to faith. What mm-hmm. Jesus is calling this young man to is faith, not to rely on his possessions, his own personal wealth, his own personal acquisitions, but to rely on him.
Mm-hmm. And the young man felt that because he'd followed all the commandments,
right,
that he was doing what he needed to do. But when Jesus asked him to do a little bit more and renounce his right. possessions, that's when he became despondent.
Exactly. It's the very scenario that we're looking at for the Year of Faith. I have in front of me the letter, the apostolic letter that Pope Benedict sent to all of us for the Year of Faith, and it amazed me looking at this gospel on the first Sunday into the Year of Faith and how it corresponds so beautifully with what he has outlined for us as a pastor of the church and as a wonderful theologian, and basically saying we've grown kind of sedentary, or we've grown rather lax in our approach to faith. And what that means, and what he says on the very first page, is that people of faith have become more concerned for the social, cultural, and political consequences of their life than they have to a continuing faith journey, thinking of themselves in society as more involved in culture and the social elements and politics, and faith is something that we've relegated to the sideline, we might say.
Or back pockets, as I like to call it.
Right. And so, you know, either we've abandoned the faith, people abandon the practice of their faith, or it's become something that is just out of custom. We've passed on the faith. I think it's very telling how many, you know, parents say, well, I've given my children the faith, they've gone to CCD, and then they go to college, and then they abandon the faith. All of that speaks to that very scenario, that what is the focus of our life? What is the meaning of life? Actually, this is a very, not only a theological question, but it's a philosophical question. Who am I, and what is the meaning of life? And certainly, the Year of Faith is an intense period for 1 year to examine, to relook at faith in each person's life, but also as a community of people.
So, Bishop, this would be a good time for us to ask again, what is the definition of faith?
Before I give the definition, I think there are just the two things as kind of a prelude to that. And the first is that in every human being's heart, there is a desire for the infinite, desire for the beyond, desire for God, for the divine. Because God has put that in each one of us, whether we believe or we do not believe, there's a yearning inside, which St. Augustine, as a man of faith, certainly expressed after he had found his meaning in life through all sorts of things, and some very much against the commandments of God. But ultimately, he spoke of in his Confessions, the book of his life, that his heart was yearning, his soul was yearning, and it doesn't find rest until it finds rest in you. So all these other things that he had put his energy and time and efforts into, it's not that they're not good, and even for ourselves, being involved in the world and even in politics and in economy, and these are the human expressions that we have to be involved in, but our heart can't be there. You know, it's misdirected. So to recognize, first of all, that there is an intense yearning in every human being's life for the divine. That's first. Secondly, that life is a journey. We tend to think, you know, even in our sacramental life of the church, that we go through the sacramental process. You know, I have people all the time say, I received my first communion here, I did this here, and that's beautiful, but that's a journey.
Right.
It's not an end. It's not a time to rest back and say, it's not a time to relax and say, well, I've received my sacraments and that's my faith life. Well, that's not true. It's a journey of life. A journey of life means facing all the circumstances of life, the joys and the sorrows, the disappointments and the triumphs of life, all as a matter of faith. And so the fact that there's a yearning in each one of us, the fact that life's a journey, now brings us to, well, what is faith? You have in the gospel of today, the rich young man who had followed all the commandments, who went through all that, but there was still something more. And he said, what more do I need? And so that shows us that there is that more. And Jesus was actually, in the gospel of Mark today, was asking him to abandon himself to Jesus.
Right.
Come, follow me. Give up all these things, or at least give up the attachment to them. They're not the meaning of your life. At the end, they don't exist. So he's actually asking him to transport himself in time and say, think of your life from the end perspective. What happens at the end? We die. And then? And there is where the, you might say, the jump-off point is. But that's not just for the end. So he takes him back. I'd like to just read what the Holy Father wrote about faith in this perspective. He said, and I quote, "Only through believing, then, does faith grow and become stronger. There is no other possibility for possessing certitude with regard to one's life apart from self-abandonment in a continuous crescendo into the hands of a love that seems to grow constantly because it has its origins in God." Abandoning oneself to love, abandoning oneself to God. The whole meaning of this year of faith for us as Christians is to encounter Jesus Christ. And there's many ways, which we can talk about in the next segment, to do that. But ultimately, it's in the day-to-day abandoning ourselves to God's love, to God's providence, to God's will, to the mystery of God, the mystery of Jesus Christ that is in our life. Many times we fight life. Many times we argue with situations and argue with one another. And we miss that underneath part, that mysterious part, the mystery underneath everything that's happening in life, and we miss the point. And so it's that question of what more do I have to do? If each one of us asked ourselves that throughout the year, in every situation, whether it's a joy or whether it's a conflict of life, what more do I have to do? The answer would be, sell your worries, sell your problems, and follow me. Of course, in response to that, the Lord will probably get us more involved. It's not a passive way. Faith is not passive, but it's actively engaging ourselves in bringing Christ into every situation, every moment of our life.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. We are going to take a short break, and afterwards we will continue our conversation on the year of faith and what we need to do. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Friday, November 2nd, All Souls Day, Dia de los Muertos. A special Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. at Seaside Funeral Home, 4357 Ocean Drive, honoring the dearly departed. The Most Reverend Edmund Carmody, Bishop Emeritus of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, will preside, with Monsignor Richard Shirley assisting. A number of deacons of the diocese will bless graves after the Mass. Everyone is invited to bring a framed photo of loved ones who passed on. For complete information on this memorable event, please call 992-9411.
Don't miss the annual Mexican Fiesta on Sunday, October 14th at Our Lady of Pilar Church, 1101 Bloomington in Corpus Christi. From noon till 8 p.m., there'll be loads of great Mexican food, live music, folklorico dancers, and mini games for the children. To hear all about it, call the church office, 852-6327.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Bishop, when you were reading the letter from the Holy Father, you mentioned something, and I have a question about it. You had the term, he had the term in there, possessing certitude apart from self-abandonment. So what would possessing certitude? What is he saying? I like a little clarification on that.
Well, good. I don't know if you, when you were growing up, if in class you had to dissect the sentences,
yes,
and
right,
all this stuff. So
exactly.
Certainly these things are so intense with meaning that we have to stop and go back and
well,
so it's a good question.
Use the dictionary.
Yes. So it's a good question. He says, first of all, in the first part of the sentence, that faith can only grow and get stronger when it's tested. And this is scriptural. I mean, the Lord, from the Old Testament, the Lord tests the ones that he loves. Why? To punish them? No. To make them grow stronger. You know, even with children and discipline, giving in to them is not helping them. Constantly letting them run the show is not helping them. You've got to put up parameters and tests and so to stretch them, to allow them to grow. So it's the same thing in the life of faith. If faith is not tested, it's not worth anything.
Right.
Because you don't need faith if it's not tested. But we know that we do, because we're called to much more. We're called to eternal life. We're called to be contributors and good stewards in this world. And so if we don't test our faith, if we're not able to say yes beyond the test, that's what the self-abandonment is, to do so. Well, I've got a little ahead of myself. Let me go back and just say that possessing certitude, I think the way we could probably explain that is that I've put my life together. You know, I've got my family, I've got my car, I've got my house, I've got my job, I've got my future, I've got my bank account, I've got my IRAs, I've got my Social Security check. I mean, there's a certain, and there's a bunch of, there's prudence in that. We have to
right.
have those things to live in the world. But to say, okay, life is that.
This is my life plan.
Right. And then things crumble, et cetera. And so somebody pulls the rug out from underneath us, and our certitude is gone. So he says, in order to understand faith, we cannot possess this certitude without or apart from self-abandonment. We live life delicately because it could happen someday that my health fails, my job goes, many, many things. We all know.
We lose loved ones.
The tragedies of life, yes, mm-hmm. Certainly. So there's this certitude that we tend to rest in when all of a sudden something happens, and that's where the test comes, and sometimes it's very tragic. And so there has to be that self-abandonment. And then he says it's in a constant crescendo, mm-hmm. which is a beautiful word,
yeah.
a crescendo of faith into the hands of God. Because again, at the end, that's what we do. We abandon ourselves. What is death but a self-abandonment
right.
from the certitude of life into the mystery of God? And so it's taking that model of death to the certitude and openness to the infinite, which is the death process, and applying that daily. Mm-hmm. I think if we were to, hopefully that's clear to our listeners, you know, to take, and many of the saints have said they've understood life from the point of view of the end, mm-hmm. because it is that from certitude to total self-abandonment into God's hands, which is love. Into God's loving hands. So to live that day in and day out, beyond the knowledge that we are called to have of our faith, which is part of it as well, but the ultimate thing is the day-to-day, leaving the certitudes and, or at least possessing the certitude, mm-hmm. and always living with that sense of abandonment of self to God.
So it's like living one day at a time,
yeah.
thinking that this could be our last day, so we'd live it the way God would want us to live it.
Sure, and it's not certainly not a fatalistic way of life, but
it's a
joyful way of living.
Right.
You know, there are so many expressions of faith that I've seen just even recently visiting with someone who was facing a very, very, very difficult operation with a smile on her face saying, you know, if God, I'm in God's hands. Mm-hmm. That's a moment of faith. And everyone has to go through that at some point. Mm-hmm. So that is really the heart of faith. And that's where we encounter the person of Jesus Christ, an intimate rapport with Jesus. The rich young man in the gospel today walked away mm-hmm. from that relationship because he was still possessing his certitude.
It wasn't the answer he was looking for.
It wasn't what he wanted. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, of course, then the apostle said, well, who could be saved? Well, it's not impossible for God. And that's where we understand that faith is also a gift, which we can also pray for during this year. Two other things, I know our time might be getting a little bit short, but two other things that I do want to bring up is what, you know, during this year, what do we do? Well, of course, we should know that just briefly that this year of faith is called on the occasion of the closing of the 50th anniversary of the Second Vatican Council. And the Pope is asking us as a church, which we will be doing in a couple of symposiums on the Vatican Council. As you may remember, in most people's minds, the Vatican Council meant change. It wasn't a call to change. It was a call to depth in the modern world, because as we move into a world that thinks differently than we did 100 mm-hmm. years ago, even 50 years ago, we have to open ourselves to relate. But it wasn't about just changing everything. It was about what is the gospel message? What is the life of Jesus? What is the life of church in the world today? And so we're going to cover that in a couple of symposium, which will be on our website and also here on KLUX. We'll be advertising it. So it's understanding the council better is one thing that mm-hmm. this year of faith calls us to. It's also a time for us to look at the catechism. You know, I get questions all the time about this and that, and I just want to say, go read the catechism. It's there. Our answers are there of what we believe. And so it's a time for us to spend time with the catechism. So those are kind of the foundational things. Most importantly, however, is an encounter with the Word of God and the Eucharist and all the sacraments. Is it just going through the motion? I think I may have told you this before, but I was at a meeting once, and an hour after Mass, we had the meeting. And the person conducting the meeting said, who can tell me what the gospel was during Mass? Not one person knew. The only person who knew was me, because I had said the Mass, and I gave the homily, so obviously.
And this is clergy we're talking about.
No, this was lay people.
Lay people.
They were lay people. Mm-hmm. Which is sad. Mm-hmm. So the Word of God, the truth of God, the eternal life of God is proclaimed Sunday after Sunday in His Word, and yet we walk out and have no recollection of what He said. So this is a time for us to relook at how we relate to the Word of God.
We need to be in the present.
Yes. And finally, the other thing, which I think is a very, very beautiful suggestion for this year of faith, is to look at the witnesses of faith based on what we've just talked about, the meaning of faith, of the self-abandonment. Look at the many, many, many examples from the Scripture and in the life of the Church, the saints, Mary, Elizabeth, Joseph, the apostles. Drop your nets, leave everything. I mean, mm-hmm. our faith life is based on people who have responded to the call of Jesus Christ. Mary, number one.
Absolutely.
I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say, not as I've planned out my life, as you say. Modern day saints. So I want to hopefully be able to give some examples throughout the year in different places of these great models of faith, even of today and even in the hospital room the other day. I mean, mm-hmm. faith is alive. We have to bring it to our awareness and attention in each of our lives, the meaning of faith, being supported by the study, understanding our faith through the Catechism, through the Second Vatican Council, meditating our faith through the Word of God, enriching our faith in His Word, in the celebration of the sacraments, also that we can live life in a way that abandons our own certainties into the hands of God who is love, to Jesus Christ.
And all things that we know we should be doing but probably haven't been focused on as much because we get busy.
So this is a right. year to really focus on it.
It is. And finally, I know we're at the very end, but prayer. And what I, in this letter, this apostolic letter, the Pope speaks of prayer as the place where, as the moment in which we enter into the heart. And he calls the heart the authentic sacred space. Oh. Authentic sacred space. Your sacred space, my sacred space is in my very, in the very core of my being, in my heart. And to spend time of coming to know and love the Lord better there is what this is all about.
That's beautiful. Well, I know the diocese will be doing many things throughout the Year of Faith, and they'll be on the website. But the first thing coming up is that you're going to have a Mass on Wednesday, October the 16th at 6 p.m. at the Cathedral.
Exactly. And we'll talk about the Year of Faith and its meaning for us.
Wonderful.
And celebrate the opening.
Right. Well, and there'll be more information on that on the diocesan website.
Sure. And there's a specific link to the Year of Faith on our website, and I guess also here at KLUX as well.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, Bishop. So if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. May your grace, O Lord, we pray, at all times go before us and follow after, and make us always determined to carry out good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.